Christ, strengthen and preserve you in true faith to life everlasting. Be filled with his peace. Amen.
Lord, let your servant go in peace. Your gracious word I now recall. My eyes have seen salvation here. Glory for Israel.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have given us a hope, not from ourselves, but from you in the body and blood of your Son. Having received forgiveness, strengthen us to share the hope of Christ with the world through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. His righteousness alone, we deem to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in a world that is filled with darkness and dread, we thank you for the bright light of Jesus you sent that first Christmas to lighten the world with your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. Today, may your Holy Spirit strengthen us, this hope that is ours in Jesus, this confidence that is ours in Jesus. In his precious name, amen. The word of God for our focus this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Romans 15. We read this: the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. This is God's word. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what is our theme for Advent for all of December this year? Have a cup of cheer. And last Sunday, we looked at having some coffee. Wake up and smell the coffee, and we looked at how we define the word coffee. But today, we get to have a cup of hope. On Wednesday, it was a cup of, remember? Silence. But today, it's hope. What a blessing. So I have a question for you. Is this glass half full or half empty? How many say half empty? Ooh, how many say half full? Okay, very good. I don't think we have to have the sermon this morning. You passed the test already. The way you answer that question tells whether you're really an optimist or a pessimist. Now, I'm not too sure if a pessimist would have raised their hands because you knew the answer I wanted. But it is part of our human nature to be pessimistic. Yeah, the Badgers won the first half, but I don't know what they're doing the second half. Okay, they're the pessimists won, right? But as Christians, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The way you answer this question has to do with the time of the year. Things can be going really well when the weather's nice. Of course, we really have great weather today for the 8th of December, don't we? We'll take it. There's a little sunshine out there. No snow anywhere. Sorry, kids. And it's not below freezing. It's great. It's great. Well, Paul was one who seemed to be optimistic all the time, filled with optimism, joy, and hope. But there's someone who was just the opposite. He's quoted as saying, "It was a dark and stormy night." Who was that? Do you remember? Here he is. It's Snoopy. Those are the words of Snoopy, the white and black beagle in Charles Schulz's beloved Peanuts cartoon. Snoopy was a world-famous author whose stories were always rejected by the publisher. It was a dark and stormy night. That's how he began all of his stories. Even when Lucy and Linus tried to help Snoopy find another beginning, such as Once Upon a Time, Snoopy writes, "Once upon a time, it was a dark and stormy night." Up to the very last Peanuts comic strip in February of 2000, Snoopy was still writing about that dark and stormy night. Who are you more like? Optimistic Paul or pessimistic Snoopy? There certainly are dark and stormy nights, even in the lives of Christians. We ourselves know much about those dark and stormy times, don't we? For some, Christmas will be dark and stormy because of grief. Someone near and dear is gone. There'll be an empty place at the dinner table on Christmas Day. For some, Christmas will be dark and stormy because of their brokenness. Family squabbles can steal family joy and Christmas joy. And conflict with others at work or in the apartment building can steal Christmas joy for all of us. Each day, when we're honest, can be dark and stormy because of our sins, because of our disobedience, because we willingly act as if we know better than God what is best for us. The Christians in Rome knew another kind of dark and stormy night. On our tour of Rome, this is from the bus, we got a picture of the Colosseum. Look at that beautiful place, bright sunshine. But you know the history. It was a place of dark and stormy times for Christians who were fed to the lions, and even worse in that place. They struggled, yet they trusted in the Lord. For first century Christians in Rome, there is real danger of slipping into hopelessness and despair, something that come to all of us to lead us away from God. Instead of being generous and caring for others, people focus on themselves. We can turn inward. But God doesn't want us to live with despair and hopelessness. Instead, He calls us to abound in hope. Paul assures us that even in the midst of the dark and stormy times, God gives us hope in the root of Jesse. What on earth is that all about?
Our text reads, let's read it together. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Who is the root of Jesse? Oh, first of all, who is Jesse? Jesse was the father of David. And who is David's most famous descendant? He was born in the city of David, called Bethlehem. All these prophecies fulfilled. We'll look more at that as we go through Advent and Christmas. It's Jesus. He was the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over everyone, and there will be hope for people in him. Hope is possible, even in dark and stormy nights, because our hope is not something we create. It is not a mere feeling. It's not merely wishful thinking either, like we wish that the Badgers would have done better. Any hope we fabricate is always subject to conditions around us. In dark times, it fades. But the hope that Paul describes is different. The word hope is found 137 times in the Bible in 128 different sections. God-given hope is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is part of our wonderful epistle lesson. I encourage you to take your bulletin home, get out your highlighter, and highlight verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may what? Let's say it together. Abound in hope. Abound in hope. Now, we had a birthday party for our twin granddaughters last night at a pizza place. And another grandma was saying, yeah, the Badgers did okay in the first half, but I worry about what they'll be like after they come out of the locker room. Boy, was she a prophet. Wow. That hope just went right out the window. But the hope we get to abound in is confident, it is true, it is everything, because we have a God of hope who loved us so much he would not leave us in our sin, in our foolishness, in our stupidity, in our selfishness, but broke through the dark and stormy night, that first Christmas Eve, with the light of the world. Our Christmas tree with the lights remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, who's come to give us real hope. So, is our cup half full or half empty? For the children of God, with the blessings of God, it's 100% full, even if you can't see anything in it. It's still full of the promises of God, and they are real, and they are true, and they are for you. You who may be facing surgery, you may be wondering, what's going to happen in my life? What will my life be like? Or wondering, what's the future? How much more time do I have? We have hope, because Jesus came to take care of your biggest question. What will happen to me in eternity? Hope is built on nothing less, the hymn says, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On the cross of Calvary, he did it all. So that's what the God of hope has done for us. Joy and peace in believing in Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, your what? Everything. Everything. That's why that ancestor of Jesus, the son of Jesse, David, could write, my cup runneth over. Wow. What a picture. The children of Israel thought they were in a hopeless situation when they thought they were trapped on the shores of the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them. What would happen? You know what the answer was. There was hope. Moses, stretch out your arm, and the water parted. Off they went. They were safe. Jonah probably thought he was in a hopeless situation as he found himself in the belly of that fish till God spit him up on dry ground, and Jonah got it and went and did his job. Daniel probably wondered, what's going to happen in the lion's den? The Lord took care of him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wondered about that fiery furnace, but they weren't alone. The king counted four. The angel of the Lord was with them. Mary and Martha had lost their brother Lazarus. But that was not the end. They would soon hear
the seed of Jesse, Jesse's descendant, say, come forth, Lazarus, and Lazarus was alive. God, time and time again, showed himself to be bigger than any of our problems, any of our dark and stormy nights. There's no question he would lead you through your dark and stormy night. But how? The Bible simply points to the root of Jesse. And to use that analogy of King David, my cup runneth over with Jesus. He again is our everything. Again, that first Christmas Eve, Jesus entered the dark and stormy night to give up his life for you, to take away hopelessness and despair from your life. The risen Christ comes to us today and brings new life in the midst of the darkness and stormy nights around us. The root of Jesse springs forth in our lives. He is our hope, our comfort in grief, the one who heals our brokenness, the one who forgives our sins. David had it right. My cup runneth over. Every day, you get to pray and trust in the Lord to take care of you. Every day, you get to remember that his peace is with you, his power is with you, and he has a purpose for you. Again, to be like John the Baptist, as we heard in the gospel lesson, and help others to say the time is running out. Turn to the Lord. Point people to Jesus. And then your cup runneth over. Every week, we're here at the table of the Lord. And what are we receiving? Take, eat. This is my body given for you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. The chalice, that cup runneth over for you. Individual cups too. What a blessing we have with our Jesus. The Lord gives us hope every day. Real hope. Now, there was a young kid who was on a baseball team, little league team. The boy sat in the dugout. A man asked him what the score was. The boy responded, 18 to nothing. We're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I'll bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged? Replied the boy. We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. He had hope. Good for him. As you look at this glass, is it half full or half empty? Because of Calvary, we Christians can be the most optimistic people of all. We know that we win in Jesus, that the best is yet to come. Half full, overflowing. Yes, with Jesus, we are not hopeless. We are hope-filled. He hit the grand slam of all grand slams on Good Friday. Now all who repent and believe are forgiven. Guaranteed, that is ours. We have given the ultimate hope. Let's read this together, okay? My hope is in the Lord. Did you say that with vigor? Did you say that with all the gusto you maybe shouted in the first half of the game yesterday? Let's try it again. My hope is in the Lord. Yes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. There's our hope. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Help me with the end. Nice and loud. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's our cup of hope for today, for tomorrow, for all the days until you're home with the Lord. So one more prayer for you, one more word of encouragement for you, reminding you that your cup does overflow, your cup of cheer. May the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
In the name of the one who gives you hope, the seed of Jesse, our dear Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you hope. Good morning once again. I want to say thank you to our two confirmands who took care of the candles this morning, Nathaniel and Zealand. What a joy to have them in confirmation class. We have five in the class. There are three others that are not part of our church, but they're coming too, so this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I want to remind you that we have our voters meeting right after church in Reichman Hall. And you notice you can use the stairs on that side now. Things are open. The elevator actually works. But a few little things have to be taken care of legally and technically, and once that's done, it'll be there for you. The owner of the company was here on Thursday, ran it for people. It works very, very well. You're going to love it. It's been a long time waiting. Again, Scott, thank you for your work, and Tom, and getting us all together. And God is blessing us. Reminder, Wednesday, 10:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at night, Advent service. And this coming Wednesday, there will be an Advent meal from 5:30 to 6:30. Be a hero, gentlemen. Take your wife out for dinner that night. We close now with our final prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen. Let's depart in peace and hope and serve the Lord.